Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we deal with the question, who is justified and who is not? The story of the Pharisee and the publican seems like one of those very simple Bible stories. I mean, what new can you say about it? New has nothing to do with it. What matters is what's important. One of the things for us to always keep in mind is that the old Adam in all of us is a Pharisee. All right? In all of us is that subtle desire to exalt ourselves and to think that God owes us something because of something that we have done. Right? Sometimes you see people get mad at God because their life does not go the way that they want it to. Things don't work out the way they thought they would. They get fed up. What use is there in praying? God's going to do whatever he's going to do. And what does it matter if I pray or if I don't pray? And so they give up on God. They disappear from the assembly of the people of God. And people begin to wonder, whatever happened to so-and-so? Well, what happened to so-and-so is they let the old Adam rise up in them until it took over the new man. They fell away from the Lord due to self-righteousness. Or consider the person who thinks that because they have done good works, therefore they deserve from God a special blessing because they're going to undergo some kind of surgery or they're going to undergo some kind of an extensive treatment. And they think that because they have been faithful in this and faithful in that and generous with this and generous with that, and the thought enters their mind, God owes me something because of my works. And we say, now how can a Christian who's read the Bible and who's listened to many sermons, how can a Christian fall into this kind of stuff? Because it's ingrained in the old Adam. The old Adam is a self-righteous, smug, religious hypocrite. All right? That's what the old Adam is. The old Adam is not irreligious. The old Adam is not a blatant, overt sinner. The old Adam is the kind of sinner who wants to be considered upright and good. That's why our whole culture, our entire modern culture, is engaged in the full-time job of calling evil good and good evil. Oh, we have discovered as a culture that we no longer have to listen to the verdict of the Bible, the holy word of the Lord. We can make up our own minds what is good, what is bad, what is right, and what is wrong. And so in our entire culture, things that are grossly evil and that our grandparents would never have even thought about, and we're blasé about it. Even us Christians, instead of mourning and weeping for the sins of our culture, we get kind of blasé about it because what can you do? You know, you're confronted, bombarded with, at every turn, with people who have unbiblical, unchristian, godless ideas that they rejoice in and celebrate, and yet they want to be considered members of churches. It's embarrassing and it's sorrowful. So, and I won't even say anything about meeting up with some person who has decided that they are going to adopt some crazy diet. All right? You know, this is the new works righteousness of the modern secular world. The new works righteousness is not following the Ten Commandments in an external way. The new works righteousness is the diet and exercise regime. I'm not talking about people who diet and people who exercise. Those things are good, right? I'm talking about people who they have to tell you that they are a vegetarian. It's not good enough to be a vegetarian. That's boring. You got to tell everybody about it. And then you got to make people feel guilty about not being it, all right? And the same thing with some crazy exercise program. You not only exercise, but you make sure everybody knows that you exercise, and you go tisk, tisk, tisk at those who do not. You see, it's ingrained in us from the ground up. You know, oh, no, no, no. I don't drink anything with caffeine in it. Well, you know, I'm really careful about what I put into my body. I won't even say what I think when I hear that kind of stuff. Keep it to yourself. You know, keep it to yourself. You know, whenever some celebrity discovers Jesus, you know how this happens every once in a while? Some famous person finds Jesus. You know what my reaction is? Oh, God. Here we go. Another celebrity spends 5 minutes reading the Bible and then backslides and brings shame upon the name of Christ for the rest of their life. Remember that 5 minutes back in the late 70s when Bob Dylan became a Christian? Right? He was like a Christian for like, what, 10 seconds? You turn around, oh yeah, that was a phase I was going through at the time. Uh-huh, all right. So let's get to our text here. What is it really dealing with? First of all, it begins by saying that Jesus told this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Social justice warriors of the day, all right? People who think that they are right, that they're righteous, that they're good, and everybody else is inferior. He told this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Because the two go hand in hand. You see, in order to make yourself look good when you're not really good, you have to make other people look worse. All right? Nothing makes you look good than when you associate yourself with people who are inferior to you. And then you really shine because all your friends are bums. All right? And so to trust in yourself that you're righteous and to despise others. So then it says, two men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. All right, now, the difference. First of all, you have to remember, when we Bible reading people, we hear the word Pharisee and we automatically think of Simon Legree or some other cartoon villain, right? Because we've been conditioned to think Pharisee bad. and so snidely whiplash with his mustache. You know, that's the Pharisee. But you got to remember, the Pharisees were the most highly respected, the most pious, the most imitated people in the culture of that day. The Pharisees were not resented and hated. They were looked up to as models of what we all ought to be. That's what the Pharisees were. It just so happened that they hated Jesus. Why? Because Jesus wanted you to come to him to be saved. They said, we don't need that. We're already saved because we're righteous. All right? So, Pharisee and the publican. What's a publican? A publican is the tax man. All right? He's the guy who collects your taxes. And you owed taxes all over the place for all kinds of things. So everybody hated the tax man. Have you ever been at a party and been introduced to somebody who works for the IRS? And you get that cold chill that shoots right down to your feet? Oh my God, I don't think I should tell this guy my name, you know? And because that's the way we react whenever we think about Internal Revenue Service, tax man. Oh, even though we don't even itemize our deductions, right? Our tax returns are boring, right? And yet, but we see the word tax man and it fills us with loathing and fear. So the publican is a hated guy. And he was also a crooked guy because he made his money collecting more tax than was due to the government. And so he would make his money by fleecing people through overtaxing them. So we got these two characters and they both go into the temple to pray. Now the description of these two people is very different. The Pharisee, Jesus says, he stood thus with himself and prayed. Now, what does Jesus mean? It means he stood in a prominent place where he would be seen and heard by others. And he, with a great arrogant spirit of self-righteousness, begins to thank God that he is such a wonderful person. That's what he's praying. I thank you, God, that I'm not a bum like these jerks here. All right? I thank you that I'm better than everybody else. All right? I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like other people are, extortioners, unjust, or even as this publican, right? He says with a sneer, right? And then he says, I fast twice a week. Everybody else, all the plebeians fast once a week, but I fast twice a week. And I don't only tithe my direct income, but I give tithes of everything that I possess. He's proud of himself and he thanks God that he is better than the average person. And by doing this, by building himself up and exalting himself, and by abasing other people, he convinces himself that he is what he claims to be. And he drowns out any word to the contrary. All right? So we see this picture of a man who is bent on exalting himself. Then the scene shifts over to the publican. And the publican, it says, standing afar off, he did not take a prominent position. He stood way in the back. See, he was a Lutheran, right? Likes to sit in the back, right? Standing afar off, he would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven. He wouldn't look up. He bowed his head, folding his hands, right? He bowed his head, and he smote upon his breast. All right, now, standing afar off is a picture of his sense of unworthiness. He considers himself unworthy. Not lifting up his eyes to heaven is a picture of his sense of shame because of his sins. And when he smites his breast, this is a picture of his self-accusation. All right? I am guilty. I deserve God's punishment. I have broken God's law. So we see three things in this guy's attitude that point to an inner disposition of his heart. And then we hear a very brief prayer. He says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. All right, so here we have a man who is not drawing attention to himself. He is not building himself up. But in fact, he is directing his heart and his mind away from himself and toward God, who is merciful to sinners. And this is what Jesus came into the world to do and to be, to show us that in Christ, God is merciful to sinners. Jesus, sinners, doth receive. And so it is that we are seeing a picture here of saving faith in the Lord. This guy was not earning God's mercy by humility. He was humbled because of his awareness of having broken God's law. It's not that he deserved to be forgiven because he humbled himself, but it is because God's law showed him his sins and he looked for help and redress in the one place that it is to be found, not in myself or in my works, but in the mercy of God in Christ. And so he prays, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So Jesus, that's the story, and Jesus responds to his telling of the story by saying two things. Number one, he says, I tell you, this man, the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Notice those words. This guilty sinner is declared righteous in the sight of God. That is, he is acquitted and his sins are forgiven because he trusts in the Lord Almighty who sent his Son to redeem sinners from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And so Jesus tells us that the publican went home declared righteous in the eyes of God. That's what justified means. It means that God looks at you and says, not guilty. Not because of yourself, but because Christ has paid for your sins in full. Right? So God acquits you in Christ. And this man went to his house justified. Now listen, rather than the other. Right? The Pharisee went to his home unjustified. That is, after all of his prayer and all of the social recognition that he received in praying so arrogantly and so publicly and so self-righteously, when he went home with, as a guilty sinner, with his sins still clinging to him. He was not forgiven. He was not shown mercy because he had no faith in the grace of God. The final word in our text is this. Jesus lays down a principle and he says, everyone who exalts himself will be abased. This is the danger of every form of self-righteousness or works righteousness or whatever you want to call it. Whenever you exalt yourself, you are setting yourself up for an abasement. That is, you are going to be put down. And this means not only in this world, but in the world to come. Think of the people who say in the parable, Lord, Lord, did we not do many mighty works in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and in your name do many mighty things? And Jesus will answer and say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Talk about being abased. Talk about a put down. But he says, he goes on, so he that exalts himself will be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now think of the publican. He knew he was a sinner. He had been humbled by the law of God, which condemned him in his sin. But he cast himself upon the mercy of God in accordance with the gospel. His attention was not on himself and what he could do to earn God's favor. I don't deserve God's favor. God be merciful to me, a sinner. He humbled himself in true faith, and he will be exalted. How will he be exalted? In this life, by being accounted by God as one of his dear children. He becomes a child of God, you see? So he's exalted. He's not just your average sinner. He is now a sinner saved by grace and included in the family of God through Christ Jesus. And not only that, but on the day of judgment, it will be said to him and everyone like him, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. What a wonderful exaltation that will be. And so today, we want to have reinforced in us the danger of any form of self-righteousness and the fact that the old Adam in us loves that stuff. But rather, we want to walk in the same way that the publican walked, not in his crooked business dealings, but in his repentance, in his faith in the mercy of God, and in the fact that he was justified by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.